But not everybody in India as well, right? There's some of them are not everyone in India.
Because they're losing their piety.
So why do we have these cycles?
Cycle means?
You know, in the first cycle everybody almost knew better the next.
Because everything was on, because they were pious. They were much more pious.
So what happens?
They were completely religious. That's the nature of matter. As I mentioned, spirit is always
eternal,
and it's always constant. Matter is eternal, but it degrades, the nature, the energy, it degrades, and then it again has to be recreated or reestablished. So everything deteriorates. Matter means whatever you have here, this building is going to be destroyed. In the spiritual world, the building's there forever.
Right. So if we, when we choose as a soul to live in a material world rather than the spiritual one, our spirituality also degenerates, right?
That if you don't take advantage. In the Satya Yuga, in the Golden Age, then everyone has opportunity. Those who take opportunity, they go back to Krishna. But still, everyone has free choice. If someone doesn't, in the next age, already the chances decrease by 25%. Next age, it decreases again by 25%. And here, it's like hardly anybody. Because here you're reading in Satya Yuga, it's the mode of goodness is dominant. In the Dwapara Yuga, it's the mode of passion. Next is passion and ignorance. And in this age, it's just all ignorance. So because people are so ignorant, therefore, in Satya Yuga, there is only one religion.
Where are we going? We're further
we're
down?
We're going down.
Are going to go up? What's the...
The world overall is going down. There may be a temporary phase where things go up by the grace of Lord Chaitanya, but it's going to go down until it gets to the stage where no one can become God conscious anymore or Krishna conscious. And then Krishna has to then reestablish again Satya Yuga. And then again Satya Yuga starts.
So there are four stages and it's a cycle that's always...
And those four cycles always going.
So did we have just these four cycles or did we have other cycles before this?
No, those four cycles are always there. And Sahasra Yuga Paryantam Ahariyad Brahma Novadu. They all take place within a day of Brahma. And at the end of day of Brahma, then there's another type of destruction where actually all these planets, there is no destruction, where all these planets are inundated with water. And at the end of a life of Brahma, then everything is, the whole universe is destroyed. And then it's again created. And it's based upon karma of living entities and how karma is exhausted. And how, again, living entities come back. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, then you find all of that, that whole process of creation and annihilation is described. And there are cycles and sub-cycles and sub-sub-cycles within them.
Okay. We're in the worst cycle right now.
We're
the worst sub-cycle
and
down.
Well, we're in... The other cycles are generally all the same, but we're in the worst stage. We're in Kali Yuga of a sub cycle.
The fact that we are reincarnated in this cycle is because we were so bad in the past?
Just that we continue to stay in the world and we continue to perform sinful activities, and the result of sinful activities is worse and worse situations.
Okay, so we couldn't escape this samsara thing?
Right.
Which means we didn't work hard enough, or we weren't good enough before.
Yeah, we didn't take spiritual life seriously. We were just too absorbed and passion and ignorance, and therefore we're here.
Okay, so the first time the soul decided to...
And some people are so absorbed and so distracted that they don't care. And therefore, for them, they don't... Why is it that amongst all the 20 million people in Istanbul, you're the one who's here and not them? It's also not by chance. It's also to do with that you have a certain level of receptivity that they don't. And because you're receptive, therefore, the arrangement is such that you will then make that type of contact. Guru, Krishna, Prasadi, Pai, Bhakti, Lata, Bhij. Nothing happens by accident. Any action is due to some previous reaction.
So is it Krishna is taking up the curtain in some people's eyes to see the reality, to see the bigger life.
Because people go through, people become more submissive. So in the beginning, in the fourth chapter, Krishna says, Artha Jigna, who comes to him? So he says, those who are inquisitive, those who are distressed or suffering, those who are actually knowledgeable. And those who are actually searching for the absolute truth, and those people are quite rare. Artha Jignasu, Artha Dhyani. So people who are suffering, people who are inquisitive, people who are looking for the absolute truth, these are the types of people. They're different types of people. They have different circumstances, but somehow or another, they come to that stage where when they come in contact with Krishna consciousness, then they go further. Because many people also came in contact and they weren't interested.
They heard it, but
they weren't interested. And some people didn't even have the opportunity yet to hear it, because they're not ready at all. They may be they will be ready at some time in the future.
Everybody will at the end?
Everyone will have an opportunity. But it's a question of whether they'll take advantage of it. Krishna is giving unlimited opportunities. That's why he says in the fourth chapter that Sambhavami Jugi, I come age after age after age, and he doesn't just come, but he also then sends different messengers. So the idea of different religions is to create a certain level of piety where people will start to think a little differently.
Now they're contradictory,
or at least people see the contradiction in them. Some people don't. For instance, I didn't see the contradiction. If you see their essence.
Yes,
but what men do with religion, that's then also a symptom of this age, is that people corrupt. They corrupt religion, and that's also natural, that also what happens in the world.
Is this necessary that there are so many different religions in different geographies?
It contributes, it helps, because different people have different levels of spiritual evolution, they have different cultures, they have different languages, so it may be essentially the same thing, but you package it a little differently.
It's not a little bit. Islam says, kill the animals, eat the meat. This says, no meat. It's not like even, it's just very opposite.
No. In Vedic system, it also says that you can kill the animal.
But unless there is nothing else to eat.
No. Vedic literature is very broad. It goes from the very bottom to the very top. This is the very top. And Islam is also very bottom. But killing animals in a certain way rather than just wanton killing, is better. It's better. It's something for people who are more or less inclined to nothing. Some regulation. The problem is that the continuity is not necessary. In Vedic system, there's one system from beginning to end. In Islam, it's just the beginning, and it doesn't continue up. Although, if you study the Quran carefully, you know, well, you don't have Chaitanya Charitamrita, but if you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Lord Chaitanya met with Muslims. And he preached to them from the Quran. And from the Quran, he explained to them how in the Quran it says that God is a person and that he has a bluish complexion. Now, that's just paraphrased like that in Chaitanya Charitamrita. What the actual conversation is, I don't know. But that may also be there, but it's not there directly. It's there indirectly. So, I don't know the Quran, but I don't think the Quran says you have to eat meat.
Well, it says kill it for God, of course, for him. It's a sacrifice. And then distribute this percentage to this neighbor, this percentage to the poorest in your neighborhood, this percentage to your father.
But does it make any reference to eating other types of food?
No, I was just talking about the sacrifice. So he's saying this give, this is a
no,
gift.
But does it say anything else in the Quran about eating habits? What's recommended eating?
For example, he says don't eat the pig.
That's one type of, anyway, that's one restriction. But does it say about what is a recommended diet?
There is fasting once a month, one month per year. But other than that, there are no restrictions, really.
That means that it's, because in one sense, you can judge a society by what they eat. So it's not a very advanced, it's not for very advanced, spiritually advanced people, but it still gives a certain level of regulation. For instance, in Christianity, in the beginning, God, when God is creating, he says, I've given you the fruits, the plants, so many other things. He doesn't say that you should eat the animals. And there are other statements in the Bible that says that eating a cow is like killing a human. But still, it also gives permission for killing animals in a certain way. But the preference is, thou shalt not kill.
Yes.
So there is a little more, you could say it's a little more advanced, in that it's very clear what God wants, and it's something else what God allows. So I'm not a scholar of the Quran, but it may also well be that if people study the Quran very carefully, they'll find that there's one thing that God allows, and there's something else that God wants. So, and you do that. You do that with, you know, if someone's a drug addict, and you can't just take him off of drug right away, you give him a lesser drug. Because a lesser drug is worth better than a bad drug. And then you try to decrease that. So often, that's the system with what we call sub-religious principles, is that, all right, people are addicted to sinful activity, but best they do it in a regulated way. And then best that they decrease it. Because that way, not immediately, but it may be over lifetimes, they're, first of all, practicing some restriction, they're following scripture, and at least they're decreasing their stock of sinful activity, rather than just unlimitedly doing whatever they want. Because that way they'll definitely just go to hell and lose their human form of life. But in Kali Yuga, the problem is because everyone quarrels, that's why you say there's always all these contradictions between religions, and people fight. Rather than seeing the oneness of religious systems, they just see the superficial differences, and then they kill each other. It's not even just the Christians are killing the Muslims, or the Muslims are killing Muslims, and It's crazy. The Catholics kill the Protestants. And
so when the souls decided that they want to also enjoy the material world, the energies, all of them did this, or they, some of them remained?
Just a very little minority.
Little minority remained?
No, little minority came. We're in the minority. Most don't. Most are too smart.
Why are they smart? Why are we different?
We have... we chose like this. We have an individuality. Everyone's an individual.
But everybody was from the same essence, so we should have the same smartness.
We have the same smartness, but we have an individuality as well. And some people choose to act in one way, other people choose to act in another. So, I don't know. A man falls in love with a woman. Why doesn't every man fall in love with that woman? Because they're individual, they're different.
Okay, so the first guys came, the first souls.
They're always coming, and they're always going.
Yeah, I'm talking about the very first ones.
There's no very first, it's
that
eternal.
That chooses to be individual.
It's eternal.
But you said that we were first with spiritual.
We were first, but there's others who've been here before us. It's been going on since ever.
Who?
Because the freedom is always there, and the living entities are always free to choose.
But there should be the first
one. No, there's no first. They're both eternal. Material world is eternal. Spiritual world is eternal. People are eternally coming down and going up.
Okay. One soul decided to come down.
Mm-hmm.
In his first life, because he's going to get incarnated a lot, in his first life, he does something. He lives in according to
mm-hmm.
something. And then he gets another form, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or he stays the human form.
It depends how he acts.
Okay. So, are they just three or four forms, like plants, animals?
No, 8,400,000 forms.
So as a human, let's say form, we have different categories within the human form?
It's 400,000 human forms. Not all on this planet, but there's 400,000 human-like forms.
And these human, let's say, in this planet, how many? Just like us.
Well, like us means?
Like humans, not any other plants, but just here.
Well, you can see there's different species of humans. And generally, it's not just physical appearance, but it's levels of consciousness.
That's what I'm saying. So
that also determine one human form from another.
So let's say there will be 10 different forms of spiritual levels in a human form.
No, there's 400,000 human species, different human forms.
On this planet?
No, not Earth. On this planet, in the universe.
But I'm asking just this planet.
I don't know, I've never read how many are on this planet.
But as a human like us, if I did something bad, maybe next time I'm not going to fall as far as animal, but I'm going to fall a lesser human being.
Possibly.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So there are degrees to human beings as well.
Correct.
I think.
Yeah.
So is there, let's say, 4 degrees, 5 degrees, is there a specific number for this?
There are, but I haven't seen. So, the best birth is a birth in India. And in India, the best birth is to be born like in Vrindavan or in Mayapur. Those are the best births.
As a city?
As a... No, not city, anywhere. City, country, anything.
What does that say, you said?
Huh?
You were born in India, and you said something.
Vrindavan, Mayapur.
Is that Brahma?
No, they're places. Vrindavan is Krishna's birthplace, and Mayapur is Lord Chaitanya's birthplace. Those are, in the universe, those are the best places to be born in.
But even people in that villages or cities are not fully aware, I guess. Like, not everybody.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, generally they are. You need to go there. In you're not going to find anyone in Vrindavan who doesn't know about Krishna. But, and then there are different people who are covered in different ways. And some are more receptive and some are less receptive. And that's also karma.
What is the word?
Species means similar karma. People of similar karma are in similar species.
What is the worst geography?
Worst geography?
The best is in India.
Well.
Middle East.
Huh?
Middle East.
No. Depends. Africa. Antarctica. If you look in terms of, you know, availability, how close are they to being able to get Krishna consciousness? If you measure it in that terms. In terms of piety and impiety, yeah, there are geographic distances. Scripture says the further west you go, the more impious people are, the more degraded they are. So that makes California is
the worst.
The worst. But although anything that's weird in the world starts off from there, isn't it? And everything comes from America and it comes from the West Coast.
Because they're open-minded. So.
But they're open-minded, and that then becomes also their asset.
Advantage.
It becomes their advantage.
And there are so many Eastern religions, not just Krishna consciousness. But other religions always sent their leaders to America,
sure.
And always to California, and always in the time period of.
So they're actually, Prabhupada would say that Caucasians are like Aryan species. So, you know, the Aryan that Hitler thought, you know, but as Caucasians are the Aryans. And originally there were certain places of the world that were really uninhabited, and they were inhabited by Aboriginal tribes people and so on. But historically, and again that's in the Bhagavatam, so there was a certain migration out of India, and that's where the Egyptians came from, that's where the Iranians came from, that's where the Scandinavians came from, that's where the Europeans came from. Otherwise you see, for instance, that were geographically isolated, like Australia, North America, there's Indian, although even in South America there's a record of, you know, there are Vishnu temples there, unearthed Vishnu temples, and deities.
In the Mayan culture.
Yeah, way before them, yeah.
Okay, so Turkey is not so bad comparison.
Turks are called, are the Yavanas in the Vedic culture.
What is that?
They're described in Srimad Bhagavatam. They're descendants of, or they're associates of Kuvera, who's sort of the treasurer of the demigods.
Is it a good thing or a bad thing?
It's not good, but it could be worse. It could be worse.
Everywhere in this world there are living entities, even inside water and inside the fire. So by living entities, does he mean the atoms?
The soul.
Soul
with a body.
So even the water and the fire and this thing has a soul.
This doesn't have a soul. Water means this fish. there's aquatics, there's all kinds of living entities in water. There's
but
germs
doesn't
in
say
water.
The entities inside the water are living entities. It says even the water and the fire.
Yeah. So inside water, if you have a glass of water, you've got all kinds of bacteria in there. And there are living entities also in fire, similar.
So living entities, not atoms?
No, but bodies. Bodies are made of atoms. But there's living entities in fire.
What is it called scientifically?
What is the living entity?
Within the fire.
There's different ones. You know, they... Even if you look, if you Google and see that scientists are seeing that in geothermic vents, either under the ocean or even near volcanoes, they're finding all kinds of living entities that are living there that are, you know, beyond the boiling point conditions, and they still live. Those are the ones that they see. You can't see everything. You can't see all life. You can only see some life. So that's why scripture for us is more important, because it's limited as to what it is that we see. We can't even see the soul. So how do we know that it exists? Because Bhagavad Gita says so.
And the table, chair, you know, things like this.
This is inanimate.
Inanimate.
Yeah.
They don't have consciousness.
No.
Water does?
No, water doesn't. The living entities in the water does. The germs in the water. Maybe, you know, maybe there's bugs inside the table, termites in the table. But in water, you know, there's, in this air, there's so many germs in the air. So the idea is that living entities are all pervading.
Okay, but these are inanimate things, don't have consciousness.
Yeah, no, that's inanimate. It was animate at one point when it was a tree, but it's not anymore.
Okay, yes.